Sarah, I believe you've got children's church this morning. Thank you, and Hannah as well. Thank you for championing that ministry among us today. Our nursery attendant, Heather, let me know this morning that she was sick. So we're grateful for her when we have her, and when we recognize when we don't have her, we miss her as well. So please we'll keep Heather in our prayer. Thank you, Sarah, for championing that ministry. Friends, this morning we come together in the word of the Lord in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36, on this Reformation Sunday, remembered in history on October 31st, 1517. Martin Luther took 95 theses, points of discussion that he wanted to talk to his own people about. Points of discussion on how he felt from the word of the Lord they had strayed. Points of discussion that were, in his idea, up for debate because the gospel, the good news, the message of salvation in Christ Jesus alone had been hidden behind tradition and false teachings, behind that which was proclaimed as truth but was not. So he went to the church doors in Wittenberg, Germany, and banged them up on the wall there and asked the church, his own people, to talk with him. Well, that was not received well. There was antagonism acted out towards him. He was branded a heretic and excommunicated from the church. That means he had no place, any fellowship, no word, no supper communion, no offering of forgiveness of sins. There was nothing that was his at one time that was now available to him. He was alone. Without any hope at that point in time of a relationship with fellow believers. Jesus was speaking to his own. When we pick it up in verse 31, we hear, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said. These are people who were under the oppression of Judaism, of the law of the Old Testament covenant that now had 612 rules to follow in order to be counted as a faithful Jew. The weight, spiritually, for them was oppressive, and it was manifested physically for them, too, in some of the things that they were required to do to be a faithful Jew. Jesus was speaking to these who were under the law, but now had been set free. They knew Jesus, like you and me, as people of freedom. Freedom in the good news that sins have been redeemed and atoned for. That there's a new relationship that we've been given before our Heavenly Father, one that's marked by grace, and faith believes that and lives it out. These were the people of Jesus' own descendancy that he was speaking to. Do you think they heard him? Of course not. Jesus says to them, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, it sounds like that's a fantastic message to hear, to be given, and by faith to cling to. It was a message that Martin Luther was trying to get across to the church and for them to take a hold of, that there's a truth given to us in the Word of God that sets us free. For him, for Martin Luther, it came in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where as he was reading in his daily devotions, the righteous will live by faith. Not the law, not 612 codes, not any good works or anything that we can merit on our own, but we are righteous, declared righteous in the sight of the Lord because of his work through faith. That was the freeing truth then in Martin Luther's life that moved him to go to those church doors in Wittenberg and post those 95 theses and put his life at stake for this truth. A truth that you and I get to embrace today freely in the expression of our faith in this body, the church, the Lutheran church. Martin Luther was told, recant of this. He refused. He was called to a council, a diet, they called it back then, in Worms, what is now Germany. Told to recant of his sayings, his teachings, his writings, or face the death penalty, burned at the stake. And Luther took a look at his writings, and what he had taught. And he asked, is this not the truth to which we proclaim as Christians? And there came a moment in history in which he said, here I stand. I can do nothing else. Branded a heretic, death penalty placed on his head. He was taken away. Thankfully, he was saved by a group of his friends and then spent some months in the Wartburg castle, where he translated the Greek New Testament into German, into the language of the people, so that God's people could read what he read. The righteous will live by faith, and they can know that truth as well like we know it today. The Jews to whom Jesus was speaking, his own, they answered Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How dare you, Jesus? A little antagonistic there. Even though they're what we would call today Christians, people of faith. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus comes to his, here I stand, I can do no other moment. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And this is why Jesus came. This is why he's standing before his own who know him, why he's confronting them, why he confronts us. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. We are bound by that chain of the law that curses us because we cannot, we fail to be obedient to the law perfectly as the Lord demands. The curse of that condemnation results in death, of which we cannot free ourselves. Physical death, but eternal death, judgment for that sin. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. We are those people, even as Jesus was addressing his fellow Jews. Sin keeps me enchained, like in habits that I just can't break. They're familiar to me. I hate them, but we can't break them, can we? Or pleasures that I've become so accustomed to, which I know maybe even are wrong, but I can't seem to live without. Slave to sin. Or our own self-righteousness, our own sinful hearts that are so hardened at times that even though we're called into repentance, into reconciliation, into forgiveness, I don't want to. I don't want to live that way because I'm enslaved. I want to do what I want to do with my life, we say as people. But sin doesn't let us do what we want to do with our lives. Sin does what sin wants us to do. And all that does is keep us enslaved, locked up, under the burden of the law. And Jesus lays it very clear for those he was speaking to as we hear the word today. A slave has no permanent place in the family. You're expendable, in other words. To be a slave is to be eventually cast out. Have no place in the relationship as a family member, much less any kind of inheritance. Luther was experiencing that. And sometimes we might also experience that. But there's hope for us. There's hope because of why Jesus came. He came to address our sin, our slavery under it. He says, a son or a daughter, we say here, an heir, in other words, it belongs to the kingdom, to the family, forever. Those promises given in a relationship as a child of God are ours forever. The son, Jesus reminds us, the heir, sets you free, and you will be free indeed. The work of Jesus, his here I stand, I can do no other moment. He came to redeem you, to set you free from the chains, the burdens, to set us free from the curse of the law, and to give us a place as a child of God, a daughter or a son, an heir of the kingdom. free from the condemnation and the curse that plagues us. Even if it likes to try to follow us around and remind us that, yes, we're not perfect and we do fall into sin, we are redeemed and made whole and forgiven. And sin, get away from me. I have been set free. Curse of death, you have no power over me. I have the promise of everlasting life, the resurrection that's mine, and the eternal promises to be before my Father in heaven one day. For Christ Jesus sets us free from the dominion, the kingdom, the reign, the slavery of sin. Be reminded of these words that we heard from Paul. Bob, everything okay? Everything all right? Okay. Do we need to call 911? No? Okay. That the righteousness of the Lord God has been made known. It's been given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This is the message of the cross, of the work of the place of the atoning work of Jesus, and of the empty tomb that proclaims this good news, this righteousness. For all have sinned, all of us fall short of the glory of God Almighty, and all of us are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. So that He was a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to receive by faith. Remember the hymn we just sang a little bit ago? A Mighty Fortress, familiar to us. One little word, Martin Luther wrote, will fell our enemy. What do you think that one little word is? You know, I've pondered that in 33 years of ministry, thinking, what is that one word? Is that one word Jesus? Well, that's a name, a word. Maybe it is. Is it grace, atonement, redemption, freedom? You know what I think that one little word is? I think the one little word is alone. Alone. That one little word alone directs us to all of those that we've just described. Jesus alone is our Savior. And His grace alone frees us. And we know that grace by faith alone, which is mine, ours, individually. We claim that. This is the goodness of God for His glory alone, which is known in Christ alone. I think that little word alone is that one word maybe that Martin Luther was thinking of. Well, if not him, at least me. Maybe you too. A sacrifice of atonement to be received in these blessings alone by God our Father. So that we're brought then into a relationship with our Father as an heir. An heir. All that the Son, Jesus, would rightly inherit, He now shares with you. He gives it to you. You're His co-heir in Christ. A son or daughter of the kingdom in which all that was promised to Jesus, we share in now unto eternity. That promise is the freedom that we have, that we claim in Jesus Christ, which bears witness that I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. After all, that really was the message on the church doors of Wittenberg, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Simple message, but it turned the church at that time upside down. It gave to us that which we possess today as the church, the body of Christ, and carry that message into the world to live as free people. Do not use your freedom then as a cover-up for evil. Live as the Lord God's slaves. Well, there's that word again. But now used in a totally different context, that we live under the authority, the headship of Christ Jesus as Lord. We are enslaved in His grace. So use that freedom as the Lord God's servants, as slaves for His kingdom's sake. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. A slave of Jesus, of His grace, to serve one another. In that, there's no place for a hard, self-indulgent, self-righteous heart. In there, there's no place for pleasures or habits that grip me because I've been set free from them. In Jesus Christ, there's the only opportunity to live under him and in him as his co-heir, a brother or sister in Christ the Lord. These are our, then, here I stand moments. I can do no other. As we carry this faith, God's message of salvation that we carry in our hearts unto the world and share them with our friends and neighbors as we live them out as slaves of the Lord. Here I stand. I'm not going to do anything else because this is where my freedom is found. Here and unto eternity, may God receive the glory always unto eternity. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for using a faithful servant, Martin Luther, to bring us to where we are today, to be in Christ alone. And thank you for the blessing that we share together as your church, here even in this congregation, of that blessing of alone in him, we are one with you. Thank you even for calling us to be slaves in your kingdom. May that message, that hope, that life of grace that you've put us under, be that freeing message that we live each day as here I stand. I can do no other moments to proclaim your salvation in who we are. And we'll give you the thanks and praise these days and unto life everlasting. For we know we are yours in Jesus our Savior. To him be the glory always. Amen. Amen. Friends, may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting, as we share these blessings together with one another, even here and now. Amen.